Welcome back to another episode of The Occasionalists. Matt Pagel here, once again flying the ship solo as we press on further into Aperitif April, a full month talking about some cocktails. Or some beers, too. We even got some beers in there to start off the whole month with the Eclipse. So not just mixed drinks, but also some beers. However, we are getting into not only another mixed drink, two mixed drinks today, but also the first original mixed drinks. That is correct. These are coming straight out of the laboratory, and this is something I really enjoy doing, just tinkering with, I really get into the science of drink making and like how stuff should taste and what could taste good together. I'm going to call it the science, but you know what I mean, like just getting the behind the scenes kind of look at how it all kind of comes together to make a good drink is really interesting for me. And so this was a lot of fun to get in the laboratory and put a couple of drinks together that I'm calling the prenuptial and, of course, the divorce settlement. The whole emphasis for this the whole impetus for this episode is that my friend is getting married. When this comes out, it'll be next week. They are getting married. So I figured some wedding drinks would be in order. This was originally going to come out the weekend that I was going to be, traveling for the wedding, but, had to move and shift some stuff around. So it's going to come out the week before, which is probably good. Means that maybe my friends will, have heard this, prior to the wedding. We could, maybe throw a few prenuptials or a few divorce settlements back. My guess is they probably won't though. I don't blame them. It's totally fine if they don't want to listen to the podcast. It does not upset me. This will be coming out the week before the wedding. Week before the wedding, so maybe I could impart some wisdom on them when we get there, when we actually get to the wedding. But also, think about these. Go ahead and strip the idea off that these are totally just wedding drinks. These are very seasonal drinks, too. I feel like they definitely fit in with the spring and summer, the current spring, and hopefully, at least around here, hopefully the coming summer season. They're also very seasonal drinks, as you will find out here when I get to the reviews. But the impetus, like I said, is my friend's getting married, so I figured we should do some, we're always drinking to celebrate, not always, but a lot of people drink to celebrate happier times with their friends and family. So why not create a couple of original cocktails? So I really don't have this preamble is not very long. I really don't have a lot for you. I just have some quick marriage facts here. Is what I'll call them for you. So let's just go through a couple of things here real quickly before we get into the drink reviews. So the common practice of sharing vows, right? You get up there in front of your friends and family and their friends and family, and you vow to do certain things, for each other in the face of difficulty, so on and so forth. It's actually a fairly, considering how old the practice of marriage is and how many cultures have been practicing marriage for a long time, the idea of what we're thinking about as vows really is fairly recent. It's a little more than 500 years old. It at least dates back to the Book of Common Prayer from 1594. There's a passage from a 1594 edition in particular about marriage vows, and it even includes an early version of the "Till death do us part." And this version of it is "Till death us depart." Is the saying in this Book of Common Prayer from 1594, it's English. I believe it's English Presbyterian Book of Common Prayer. It's a fairly new invention, which makes sense following the path of Christianity through Europe and through the Americas. It kind of makes sense that wedding vows would be sort of newer, if you will, at least the way we think about them, wedding vows would be newer. But I'm sure if you go back to marriages and things, centuries, if not millennia before, there's probably some exchange of of promises or whatever. They weren't as detailed and they weren't as exact as what we're thinking of when we think of vows. So there you go. Vows, at least dating back to the how we think of them, dating back to the Book of Common Prayer from 1594. Okay, so how about wedding rings, right? The big one there. And we know this for sure. Wedding rings are very, very, very old, possibly even older than some of the records that archaeologists and anthropologists and other people have uncovered. But for sure, at around 4000 BCE, Egyptians were exchanging hemp and reed rings, and they were traditionally worn on the left finger. And this is something that goes back through multiple cultures across the globe, even if you didn't wear a wedding ring on the left finger, but that there is a vein called the vena amoris in your left ring finger that connects, it's a vein, an artery that goes like directly to your heart. So it's obviously not true, but you know, with that belief, it made sense to put this, symbol. And, you know, the circle symbol is a very important symbol in a lot of ancient cultures. You know, the infinity, the cycle of life and death, the sun and the moon, a lot of things that have a perpetual cycle are symbolized by circles. So it made a lot of sense to go ahead and put the wedding ring on the left finger, you know, to connect it directly to the heart, as a lot of ancient people thought. But for sure, wedding rings date at least back to the ancient Egyptians. But my guess is if we could ever, you know, have more detailed records, you know, if we ever find more, I'm sure there's more evidence of ancient cultures, even older than that, exchanging wedding rings. It's very possible. However, you know, since the Egyptians were made out of hemp and reed, if even older cultures were exchanging rings, or, you know, something ring-like, it's possible they weren't as durable. So we just, you know, have never been able to find them necessarily. So that'd be my guess that this tradition's probably even older, you know, since a lot of the symbolism really dates back to like paganism that predates the classical Egyptian empire. You know, it's 4000 BCE for sure, but possibly even older on the tradition of the wedding ring. How about throwing rice? It's a kind of an odd one. This dates back. This is literally ancient too. This dates back to dates back to like more of the late Roman Empire era. It basically by the time Rome had spread itself very far across Europe, because it's hard to say if it originates with Rome, but certainly it was incorporated into Roman culture. It shows up in a lot of the cultures that Rome was in direct contact with, all the way up into you know, Ireland, England, and down throughout Europe and into Africa. There are throwing rice is something that that kind of was pretty fairly universal in the Roman Empire. You know, as rice was a symbol of fertility and wealth. Makes sense. Throw the fertility and wealth symbol right at the married couple. Other cultures threw different grains, even corn, as good luck and fertility offerings as well. It just depended on where you were in the Roman Empire. So, you know, it's a thing that probably didn't originate with the Romans, but was, you know, slowly absorbed into Roman culture as they spread out across Europe and, you know, for better or worse, you know, dominated many cultures in many places throughout the world. So there you go. Throwing rice dates back to the late Roman Empire, at least. All right. And there's a few ideas about where the term honeymoon comes from. And I think one is probably more probable than the others. But I'm going to read off a couple here, a couple ideas about where you know, various experts think the term came from. So it could refer directly to the lunar calendar. In ancient times, the first moon after a wedding might have been called the honeymoon because the phases of the moon were used to keep track of time. So simply the honeymoon could have literally just been the first month of marriage, essentially. Possible. This could also be related to ancient fertility rituals. Some scholars believe the term comes from the ancient practice of drinking mead, a honey-based alcoholic beverage, for a month after a wedding to increase fertility. And this moon of the honey eventually became honeymoon. I think that's a little bit less possible, but, you know, who knows? Maybe not. Germanic origins. This word may have its roots in Germanic language, where honey was used to symbolize something sweet and pleasant, while moon referred to a length of period, you know, the one lunar phase. And it just eventually became honeymoon. I think that is the most probable. And there's also this idea of newlywed seclusion. Another theory that this term refers to a period when newlyweds would seclude themselves away from everyone, much like the waxing and waning of the moon. This private time was considered the sweetest part of a new marriage, so the honeymoon. I think this is the least sensical and doesn't really add up exactly, whatever, but probably the Germanic origins one is the most probable, and maybe the lunar calendar one as well. Who's to say for sure, really, but obviously, it's a big deal now. I think most people, when they talk about getting married, the first question is, or maybe not the first question. The first question is probably, you know, where's the wedding? You know, what's the dress? That kind of stuff. Probably right after that is, where are you guys going on your honeymoon? So, there you go. All right. And lastly, we'll wrap it up here. I couldn't wrap up this, my marriage facts without at least one divorce fact, since we are talking about a drink called the divorce settlement. But a divorce fact, and it's not really a fact. I really wanted this to be true. It's one of these things. Maybe it was, it feels like it's one of those things that was maybe like a tongue-in-cheek suggestion that got misinterpreted over the decades. But it did give inspiration to later stories, but it's still very funny. And it's very, very, I think you'll understand what I mean. It's very German. It's where this idea comes from. And the idea is divorce by combat. There's this German book written by Hans Telhofer, I think I'm pronouncing it right, called Fechtbuch, which means just fight book. And it's from the 1400s. And it's this illustrated volume that explains how a couple could clash, and you know when they couldn't settle, when you know some kind of legal representative couldn't settle a divorce, the married couple was able to fight each other, literally fight each other, and the winner was the victor in the divorce. And it doesn't really. This probably didn't happen. Maybe this was just a joke, or maybe it was like sort of, one of those, I don't know, some kind of like a rhetorical sort of story, you know, not too unlike, why am I forgetting the religious parable now about, you know, cutting the child in half, and you know, the real mother is the one who will, you know, would give up the child as opposed to, I think it's King Solomon, I believe. I think it might be one of those things where, you know, if you really want to get divorced that badly, how about you borderline kill each other instead? And, you know, it's sort of like no one wants to take that option. Even people who are at wit's end with each other, they still don't want to like go have combat with each other. However, I'll describe exactly how divorce combat or divorce by combat had to take place. So there's a great picture of it. You should look up fight book divorce or something like that. Just Google that. The couple would clash. They're sort of like penned in, you know, it looks like there's like a little fence around them or whatever. And, the man was buried up to his waist in a hole, and he, had one arm tied to his side. And the woman was allowed to, stand out of the hole and attack. Looks like he had some kind of defensive weapon, like just like a cudgel or something. But she gets a sack full of rocks to hit him with. And this all seems too fantastical to actually be true. I'm really upset that it is not true, because this would be, again, this idea inspired some stories and stuff like that. Some medieval tales and things kind of come from this. but it just doesn't seem like it would be that common of a practice for anyone to truly have gone through divorce by combat. I mean, you know, we would have to, I would assume that if this really happened, there would be at least some records of serious injury or death resulting from this idea. But again, the illustration is fantastic. It's a woman, literally, it is a man buried in a hole and a woman hitting him with a sack of rocks. It's fucking fantastic. And I'm very upset that this likely did not happen, but I'm glad that this myth is just out there in the world. So people can kind of look it up, you know, see for themselves that it's probably not true, but it also seems like such a very German thing, either way. All right. And that's it. That's the preamble. Let's just get into the drink reviews. We're going to start with the prenuptial and all the things that we're going to pair the prenuptial with, and then we'll get into the divorce settlement and what we're going to pair the divorce settlement with. And then that'll be that. All right, let's jump into our first taste test of my first original drink for you. And of course, since as I had already mentioned, I'm going to be at a wedding this weekend when this comes out. So of course, we had to go ahead and give these drinks some wedding themed names. But since it's me and my humor is as black as the void itself, of course they are. They are aptly named for someone with a terrible sense of humor like mine. So the first one that we're going to do is called the prenuptial. And the prenuptial is, and I'm going to talk you through after I get the taste test done here and I do a variant. I'm going to talk through some adjustments that I think I may or may not make. So the prenuptial, 1.5 ounces of bourbon of your choice. I'm using High West bourbon. 1.5 ounces of vanilla vodka of your choice. I just grabbed Absolut. 5 ounces of mint-infused lemonade, which we'll talk about here in a second. You're going to top with, you're going to mix the bourbon, vanilla vodka, and the mint-infused lemonade together in a shaker, or, you know, you could even just stir it together, quite frankly. you're gonna serve that over ice, top it with champagne, whatever. So this is kind of a big glugger. This is definitely more of a full cocktail. If you were going to a wedding and they had something like this, you would get a full glass. This wouldn't definitely not, it's not a shot. It's not like a rocks glass. This is a full glass you'd be getting this in for sure. Again, bourbon, vanilla, lemonade, mint-infused lemonade, all shaken up. Shake it with ice if you'd like. But you're going to go ahead and serve it over ice. You're going to top it with champagne. So whatever's left in that glass, go ahead and top it with the champagne. And you're going to garnish with a lemon slice if you choose. I think it looks better with one. And then just take a big old sip of this thing. So I think the goal here is to definitely get, you know, we are heading into spring, so I want something a little bit more light and a little bit more lively. Certainly we are getting to wedding season, so, you know, the champagne comes into play there, obviously. And obviously the spring and the summer flavors, mint, lemon, they're just like classic spring and summer flavors. So wanted to go with a drink that was, kind of simultaneously you could imagine if you're at a spring or early summer wedding or something, you could imagine this being one of the drinks if that's the route that the wedding party went, you know, you're providing a mixed drink of some variety. You could imagine that this would be served there. So let's go ahead and get our first sips. Here we go. Love that sound of the ice just kind of clanking around in there. Oh, this looks great. It's got a nice color to it. Nice and like pale, but not like clear or anything. Like it just has a great color to it. Like this nice kind of uniform, pale yellow color with the nice yellow, lemon slice, on top. So here we go. First sips. Ooh, that is the business right there. Hold on, let me get another one here. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is even better than I thought. No joke. Third sip. Oh, wow. Okay. So this is a thumbs up all around. You get the nice taste. I am a proponent of tasting your alcohol. And you get a nice taste of your bourbon in there. It's not too overwhelming. I think The vanilla vodka and the lemonade definitely balance it out. But then you get a little bit of kick. You definitely get a little bit of kick with the champagne. And that mint flavor just kind of, like, through all of it, just is sort of riding there. Like, the I still have that mint aftertaste, but it's, like, just sort of riding it. It's not overwhelming. It is just, like, kind of dancing with each flavor. Oh, this is very good. I did a really good fucking job, you guys. We got to get another sip going here. Oh, yeah. Ooh, that's the business. This is a thumbs up for me. That's for sure. I think I know what I'm going to do to tweak it a little bit, but oh man, that's really good. I'm so fucking smart. So here's the thing, and I'm going to tell you right now, I did this drink kind of on the, I'll call this the lo-fi version of this drink, the quick and dirty version of this drink. So like I literally just used like a Crystal Light, squeezer of lemonade, mint extract, and just blended those together, just mixed them together to make my mint-infused lemonade. Similarly, excuse me. Similarly, here's where I'm going with that. I think that there is an elevated version of this where if you really wanted to make, like if you went to a really nice bar and asked for this, you could actually do this with like muddled mint leaves. You could do this with an actual lemonade, maybe even, I mean, if you wanted to get real fancy with this at a really fancy bar, some simple syrup, lemon juice, mixed in with this, like in other words, or if you want to do it home, you could, for sure, either muddle the mint or just do, steep lemonade, like, for several hours or overnight in a bunch of mint leaves or something like that to get that same taste. I just did the quick and dirty version of it, and it still tastes really good. So I'm going to go ahead and imagine that the elevated, the true kind of craft cocktail version of this, the one where this drink would cost you, $20 or something at a nice bar, that elevated version of this would taste even better, I would have to imagine. But this is really good in the lo-fi version, to be sure. I think, boy, what would I change? So here's the thing that I'm, so here it is. I think that depending on your preference for how you like your alcohol, as I said, I'm a person who likes to taste my alcohol. So probably with the 3 ounces total of bourbon and vanilla vodka, that I am going to shift it towards 2 ounces of bourbon, 1 ounce of vanilla vodka. And if you were someone that really doesn't want as much of the bourbon flavor, you just, you like a little bit more of the sweetness and the mint and that tart from the lemon, then you probably would want to shift it towards 2 ounces of the vanilla vodka, 1 ounce of the bourbon, possibly. There's also a world where you don't even top this with champagne if you don't want to. But I sort of like the effervescence that it kind of provides, especially like when you first pour it, it kind of like bubbles this up a little bit. But I think you could also do this without champagne if you wanted to, and that would be it'd be totally good too. So I think the variant that I'm going to do my second round of this, I'm going to up the bourbon for sure. I'm going to keep the champagne going with it, but I'm going to up the bourbon. 100%. That's what I'm going to do. I'll also say this would be a really good, oh man, more ideas as a summer drink. Get like a bunch of chopped ice, crushed ice, and then, fill about like half your glass, maybe 2/3 your glass with the crushed ice and pour this bad boy over some crushed ice. Like, make this a prenuptial smash. I think that would be really, really delicious too. I think there's a lot you could do with this, but this is a absolutely delicious little concoction here. I'm enjoying this. I'm going to finish this one up, and then we'll get to I'll tell you how it tastes with a little bit more bourbon in it versus the even mix of the bourbon and the vanilla vodka. All right. Back from the laboratory with the more bourbon heavy version of this drink. And there was also a little bit less champagne this go around, but Still excited to try this. Still has the nice uniform yellow color, which is great. But this looks... Oh, love that sound. This looks great. Let's give it another sip. Ooh, ooh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We got it going for one more here. Hold on one second. Mm. Ooh, that is the business. I'll tell you what. With the more bourbon forward, the bourbon, the mint, and the lemon definitely kind of overpower the vanilla. Like, I can just barely taste it. Probably for most, and I like this, by the way. This second variation is very, very good. I think I actually like my original kind of even mix with bourbon and vanilla. Vanilla vodka, the 1.5 ounce to 1.5 ounce. I actually think I like that a little bit better because you do get more of the kick of the vanilla in there playing in with the mint and the lemon. Whereas in this version, it definitely gets drowned out. However, it gets drowned out by the mint and the lemon mostly. However, you definitely really get to taste the bourbon, which is good. I like that quite a bit. But I also think the bourbon is just a little bit kind of capping. And I said before that I didn't have as much champagne. We got those like little bottles of Martini and Rossi. I didn't have as much champagne, but I think even if there's another extra half ounce or an ounce or whatever, I still think the bourbon going bourbon heavy would have kind of, it would do what it was, it would still do what it's doing now, which is kind of muting that flavor just a little bit. So I really think the best version of this is making the bourbon more of a, not the dominant, not the sub either. I guess it's a switch. But no, you don't want, I like this bourbon heavy version of it for sure. But if you want to get like sort of the more, a little bit sweeter and more of the full balance of flavors, for sure, kind of stick with the original. Or I suppose you could even go the other direction. And like I said, you know, go 1 ounce of bourbon, 2 ounces of vanilla vodka. I think there's a world where you just do vodka, right? Like where you, you know, 1.5 ounce or 2 ounces of vanilla vodka, and then like 1 ounce of just vodka. If you still want your alcohol, you still want that alcohol sting, or just 3 ounces of vanilla vodka with the lemonade and champagne. I think all of these would be really good variations. I'm gonna get another sip here. Hold on. Oh yeah, that's so good. But yeah, very refreshing, light, effervescent. I'll tell you what, for considering there's a fair amount of alcohol in here. I mean, you're talking 3 ounces of liquor plus, I would guess, probably, you know, with the 5 ounces, probably like 4 ounces of champagne. I mean, this is very alcoholic, but yet very, very crushable. I think. I think this is a for sure winner. This is going to be something I revisit to be sure. Very, very simple to put together. Like I said, I did the lo-fi version of it. If you really wanted to get nuts and make your own kind of lemonade, muddle some mint in this thing while you were, while you're mixing everything together, that route 1000% exists, and I bet it's delicious. But for most people who, you know, don't have, professional, not even a professional, just most people who aren't going to invest the time to really sort of put this drink together on, you know, in the exact same way that I did, or like a real bartender would even try to, I think going the route of just some, you know, easy, some, because like the lemonade, you're not like, you don't need the lemonade to be like the most delicious lemonade of all time. You just need it to have that nice, strong lemon flavor. You just need it to have that nice, strong mint flavor to go along with it. The real stars of the show, obviously, are the bourbon, the vodka, and the champagne. So you could definitely do the lo-fi version or the hi-fi version of this, however you would want to do that. But I think with the ease of doing it this way, it just makes this, like, I could make a lot of these kind of specialty craft cocktails are kind of a pain in the ass to make, especially if you're making, like, if you have like a bunch of people over and you want to, you know, give them a sampler or whatever. It's a little bit difficult to put some of these together. This would be super fucking easy to make. I could literally make 5 of these at once, and it really would not be that hard. So that sort of ease of making is definitely a big bonus too. And I'm telling you, you just in general need to do a little mint in your lemonade. It is absolutely refreshing. Absolutely. I'm telling you, this is like for the people that like go nuts over like cucumber water and shit, which is good. I actually enjoy cucumber water. Mint lemonade. Absolutely. That's something you need to start doing ASAP. But the prenuptial, 1000%, two enthusiastic thumbs up. I think I like my first version just a little bit better than the second version. But if you do want to go a little bit more bourbon forward, a little bit more taste your alcohol a little bit more, then for sure up the bourbon, downgrade the vanilla vodka just a little bit to suit your taste there. I suppose, you know, and obviously if you want to, like I said, I don't think you necessarily would need to top this with champagne. You could obviously play with the amount of lemonade that you put in, but the prenuptial, this is an absolute winner, just like all prenuptials. All right, so let's get into the pairings for the prenuptial. Per usual, we're going to be doing song, album, and movie. And, you know, even within these sort of themed ideas, I like to put like my own like challenge out there for myself. So, yeah, there's like themes within the themes, if you will. So all of these songs for both the prenuptial and the divorce settlement are, we're going heavy metal. All the songs, the albums, heavy metal, and the movies are intense as well, to say the least. So because, you know why? Love is intense. The process of being in love is intense. Losing love is intense. Love is an intense emotion. So I went with some intense music and some intense movies to sort of match the intensity of love, if you will. So we'll start off the prenuptial first drink that we did here. We're going to begin pairing that with a song, a very beautiful and perfect love song to start this thing off. It's called Her Black Wings by Danzig. And it is a love song to a succubus. I'll just read some of the lyrics here. I'm gonna read the first couple stanzas here. Blackest of the black, darker than night, come to me, my bleeding light. She comes, she comes now, enter oblivion. Yea, she is here, harder than life, in my arms. See she there, entwined with love, unclean she is. And she comes down to me, and she offers me sleep under her black wings, under her black wings. Lovely, lovely song by Mr. Danzig there. And the first song that the first thing that we're going to be pairing up with the prenuptial. All right. So now I'm going to give you a quick Japanese lesson here for this album that we're pairing the prenuptial with. And the album is called Koi no Yokan. It's by the Deftones, from, I don't want to say like 2012, 2013. I can't remember exactly when this album came out. Does not matter. But the quick Japanese lesson here. Koi no Yokan, it's a Japanese phrase that we don't have like an exact, the closest thing that we have a phrasing for is love at first sight. But that's not exactly what this means. That would be inaccurate. What Koi no Yokan means is a premonition of love, or sensing that love is near. Think about it this way. If you were, if you had like two friends that met each other and they seemed to get along really well, and in your mind you have this idea that, oh, they would make a really good couple. Like I think that they would be good together, and I think they'll end up together. That is what Koi no Yokan means. It's the premonition of love, or the idea that these two people will eventually fall in love, or that you could eventually fall in love with someone else. However, it does not mean love at first sight. And sticking with the metal theme, of course, you know, Deftones, right? So the album there, it's a very good album too, by the way. It's got some Swerve City. Let's see, Swerve City's on it. What else is on it? Rosemary, Tempest. It's really an excellent album. Highly recommend. I'm in the bag for Deftones, so I'm predisposed to thoroughly enjoy just about anything they do. But Koi no Yokan, one of my favorites by Deftones. All right, and finally, our intense love movie that we're pairing up with the prenuptial. and I think intense might be the understatement of the century when talking about this movie. 2018's Mandy, starring Nicolas Cage, probably the, I would say the 2018's like sort of like the rebirth of Nicolas Cage in pop culture. And Mandy had a big hand in putting Nick Cage back on the pop culture spotlight, you know, for this kind of second, this sort of revival act, if you will. Mandy is directed by Panos Cosmatos, and I suppose, you know, a lot of people say they're in love, you know, with their significant other, but are you in love with your significant other enough to avenge her death by killing literally an entire fleet of cultists, of biker gang cultists, in a complete and total acid trip fever dream? Are you that in love with your spouse? Are you so in love with your spouse that you will literally kill hundreds of people for them? If you are that in love with your spouse, I worry a little bit about your sanity, but also you could really star in, if they ever make a sequel to Mandy, you could star in the sequel to Mandy. That is, once again, starring Nicolas Cage, Andrea Riseborough, Linus Roach, there's some other people in it, Bill Duke. That is Mandy from 2018, directed by Panos Cosmatos. All right, let's get on to our second drink here, our second original drink. So you've had a good 10 months of marriage. Good thing you signed that prenuptial, because it's going to make the second part much easier now that you two hate each other. And that's going to make this, it's going to make the divorce settlement much easier. That is correct. Our next drink is called the divorce settlement. And this one's a little more straightforward. So we're going 2.5 ounces of bourbon, again, using the High West. Just going to go ahead and stick with it, because why not? Your choice of bourbon, up to you, or whiskey if you'd like. And I probably should have mentioned previously, if you want to go ahead and make any of these just a little bit sweeter, you could also substitute any kind of bourbon or whiskey for brandy. Would work as well. But anyway, the divorce settlement. 2.5 ounces of bourbon, 2.5 ounces of blackberry lemonade, top with ginger beer, serve over ice, garnish with a lemon slice. Easy enough. And I have a feeling I'm an easy mark when it comes to alcohol. Even when stuff's not like that great, I'm like, well, you know, it could be worse. But I have a feeling this is going to be a nice kick in the teeth. The same kind of kick in the teeth that divorce is. So I feel like this drink is going to live up to it. It's got a great, it's got an interesting color. It's very pinkish. I was actually expecting it to be a little bit darker, but it's kind of like maybe not pink isn't the quite the right word for it. More of a fuchsia, I suppose, with a little lemon slice on top. It actually kind of pops really well. It doesn't look as vengeful as I was hoping. I was kind of hoping this would be a little bit darker, but hey, whatever. Let's drink it. Let's get this first sips going. Let's dig into it. So here we go. Ooh, okay. I see what we're doing here. Let me get... just a little more here. Get another sip. Ooh, this is very interesting. Oh, that ginger beer really sets it off. Holy cow. This is very fantastic. It's refreshing. It's refreshing. I am very, very shocked at how sort of muted, I don't want to say this in a bad way, so maybe muted isn't the right word, but how the bourbon really blends in with the taste of the blackberry lemonade and the taste of the ginger beer are really kind of front facing, and then it's just sort of like a little bit of like an afterburn almost with the bourbon. Oh boy. And with the lemon on top there, you know, just take your lemon slice, give it a little squeeze, let it float right on the top. Oh yeah, that's really super refreshing. I mean, this is the kind of thing I would definitely drink after I divorce my wife. I'd take 10 of these to the dome. Yeah, I think Oh, that's really good. I do think that I already know 100% where I'm going to go with my next variation. But I definitely going to get a more bourbon facing, like maybe even go like a shot and a half of bourbon. And you know, and then let the, keep the blackberry lemonade the same, shot and a half of bourbon, and then, you know, whatever's left over, top of the, you know, the ginger beer, taking up the remaining. One thing that I really 1000% regret not doing while I was at the fucking grocery store, I regret not buying fresh blackberries, one for, you know, for a garnish, but it would have been, immediately came to my mind as I was mixing this all together. Boy, wouldn't this be a really great, as I mentioned previously, with, you know, you could make the prenuptial into a smash with a lot of crushed ice. Get a big handful of blackberries, ice, a little bit of water, turn that into almost like a crushed, like almost borderline smoothie almost. And then pour, put that in and then add your bourbon and then pour your ginger beer to make this like big kind of thick smash. Would probably be really fucking good. But I kind of F that one up. And truly don't know why I didn't even think of that when I was at the store, but I didn't. That would definitely be something you could do with this. But I think for my variation, I'm definitely going to go a little bit more bourbon heavy on this one to get more of that flavor in the front, as opposed to the ginger beer and the blackberry lemonade that is coming through the front first. But this is very good. This is really, really good. I am just surprising myself today. I love that sound of the ice glugging, clinking and clanking, like a big old pair of balls just smacking around. I don't know why that came to mind, but it fucking did, and I'm leaving it in the episode. I'm getting another sip here. God, this is the best divorce settlement you're ever going to get, unless you come out on top, I suppose. Then that will probably be the best one. So yeah, that's going to be the upgrade, or the change there. I'm going to do a little bit more bourbon and a little bit less ginger beer. All right, here we go. Our second round of the divorce settlement. And I can tell you, by putting more bourbon in this, it has taken a darker and sinister turn. No, it's actually visibly just a little bit darker, which is kind of what I was originally going for when I was kind of thinking about this. I was kind of hoping it would look like dark, you know, more like almost blood-like, but it would be like a dark color. It didn't quite, it just looks pinker than I was expecting. But now with a little less of the ginger beer, and I forgot to mention, full disclosure, I used diet ginger beer. I am one of those people who tries to save calories and sugar where they can. And I think people very much underrate when they get like a big mixed drink or a cocktail or they're doing some frou-frou drink or whatever. People really underestimate exactly how much sugar and how many calories are in those drinks, how much sugar and how many calories are in wine, that kind of stuff. People underestimate that. And it's not like, believe me, if you've seen me before, I have like visible muscles everywhere in my body or something. But if I can save like unnecessary calories here and there, especially when you're drinking and you don't really take into account how many calories you actually drink, I try to save them where I can. So I think this would probably taste a little bit different with regular ginger beer, getting more of the sugar and stuff in it, but. Went with a diet ginger beer here. Probably should have mentioned that as well, but doesn't matter. Anyway, second variation, bourbon heavy. We're talking probably close to 3.5 ounces, roughly speaking, of bourbon. It's quite a bit, maybe edging closer to 4. But stuck with the same amount of blackberry lemonade, and then the ginger beer filled it out. So here we go. Oh, that's the ticket. That is the ticket. Holy cow. Oh, this is kind of what I was envisioning from the jump. There is a nice sting with the bourbon. Listen, we're talking about a drink I'm calling the divorce settlement. There is a nice sting from the bourbon, but it's not overwhelming. You get the flavor of the blackberry lemonade, and then that sort of that I guess I would call it like the, I guess I'd call it like the continuing sort of zing from the ginger beer. It kind of like lasts, you know, the aftertaste, that feeling kind of lasts, you know, beyond the first sips. And that's coming from the ginger beer, and it just the ginger beer, you know, ginger and bourbon always pair together well anyway. And oh, this is fantastic. This is exactly what I was thinking about when I wanted the divorce settlement. Something with a little bit of bite to it, but not like so overwhelming that like people won't even try it. This is exactly what I was thinking. Let me get another one here. Oh yeah. Yep. That's what I was thinking. And again, like I personally enjoy my cocktails with a little bit more liquor. You know, like I really want to taste the liquor that is in there. So like I'm more liquor forward. Boy, man, and come on now. Someone had to make a joke there, right? In your brain you made one. Come on, I'll say it one more time. Go ahead and I'll even do the pause and everything, okay? So I'm a guy who likes to taste my alcohol. I guess you could say that I am more liquor forward. Okay, there we go. No, but for real, like I am definitely I want my liquor at the front for the most part, and this definitely satisfies that. It has the nice little, now this is now the blackberry lemonade is just more of a hint, which is great. And the ginger beer kind of the ginger beer and the bourbon definitely kind of, I don't want to say dominate, but they definitely are taking the lead a little bit here with the blackberry lemonade and that little slice of lemon you got in there. Kind of bringing up the rear. It is good. It is good, my friends. Man, these are both winners. I'm so, like I said to you guys, I'm really fucking smart. This is great. I can get another one. Full disclosure, I might be pretty drunk right now, and not know what I'm talking about at all. But like I said, this one I kind of regret not buying like a big, you know, like a little a thing of blackberries and just taking a big old handful of blackberries. And making this a smash right off the bat, but I think you could make this a smash right off the bat with ice, blackberries blended together into essentially a blackberry slurry, and then pour the bourbon and the then pour the bourbon, well then pour everything over top of that to give you a little bit of flavor. I'm not sure if you would want to drink this. I'm not sure if you'd want to drink this like just bourbon and blackberry lemonade necessarily. Like it even up. Maybe oh man. You know what you could do with this? You could go bourbon. If you don't like ginger beer, I'm thinking here on the fly. So what you could do, one of my favorite things to do is do a bourbon and all bourbon excuse me, a bourbon and I'm definitely drunk. A bourbon and an Arnold Palmer. I really enjoy. It basically, basically, kind of like 3-to-1 Arnold Palmer to the bourbon. What you could do with this one for certain, Arnold Palmer, the blackberry lemonade, or excuse me, tea, not the Arnold Palmer, tea, blackberry lemonade, and then the bourbon to kind of accentuate it. I think you could do that, but I would kind of just stick with it as is. I really think that I'm going to get another sip here real quick, baby. Oh yeah. I think that I like the ginger beer in it, providing this little bit of like extra, you know, you taste the bourbon, but then you get this nice little effervescent kick from the ginger beer. And then obviously the flavor of the blackberry lemonade. Again, I did this on the, you know, other than the ginger beer and the vodka or the bourbon, excuse me, this was just a blackberry lemonade mix. If you wanted to make, I bet if you were to do the elevated, not, you know, the hi-fi version of this to my lo-fi version, if you were to do the hi-fi version where you had lemonade and then you did something with, I'll tell you what, lemonade, blackberry liqueur, bourbon, ginger beer, I bet that would be an absolutely delicious home run. Don't want to necessarily pay for that in a bar, but I think if you were to do the high five version of this, you would even get like a really good kick out of that as well. So again, up to you. I think this one certainly has, I just think that this one has fewer variants since it's a little bit simpler than the prenuptial. But man, this divorce settlement, especially the one that bites a little bit harder, this is a winner, baby. The divorce settlement, go out and get you one. All right, let's move on to the pairings for the divorce settlement. So this is, again, we're going with some intense music here, but I'm going to start off with a song that I'm going with this song because it feels like, at least in my mind, you're throwing back one of the divorce settlements with some music to celebrate the fact that you have dropped that ball and chain, that we are now done with that particular life, and you have moved on happily and successfully. And to do that, you're just going to go ahead and live it up. Living After Midnight by Judas Priest, one of my favorites off of British Steel, a great party album in general. But yeah, just don't think about this as like an ending. This is a new, this is a beginning for you. This is a new chance to live again. So you want to live it up. You want to live After Midnight. Live After Midnight. Living After Midnight by Judas Priest. And then we're going to move on to an album that I had to include here. Can't go, you know, when we're talking about like, when we're talking about trying to stick with heavy metal, hard rock, and kind of breakup songs and that kind of stuff, love songs and that kind of stuff, how can we not tap Joan Jett and the Blackhearts and hit their album Bad Reputation, which is really more about kind of throwing off the preconceived notions of where a woman's place, especially at this point in time. I think the album came out originally in like 1980 or 1981. And, you know, the whole album is about the preconceived notions of where women fit in the rock scene and in the heavy metal scene, which is to say that at that point in time, there really weren't a lot of women, you know, making huge waves in the hard rock and metal scene. And, you know, female vocalists and female singers were, you know, there were more of them at that point in time. I know we've talked about in recent episodes about like Blondie, Romeo Void, Lita Ford, but you know, the headliners and the big names were like few and far between, and there was definitely was still a lot of sexism about exactly where women fit into rock and roll. So Bad Reputation really is more about throwing off those particular shackles, but you can definitely see this, you can definitely interpret this as sort of throwing off the shackles of any bad relationship, right? It just happens to be written from the point of view of a woman who was, you know, a trendsetter, an icon in her own right. But, you know, you can absolutely apply songs like Bad Reputation, her cover of You Don't Own Me. There's a ton of other songs on this album too that really are, that feel like, that feel to their core like breakup songs, like messages to the person who, you know, who they broke up with that, you know, kind of fuck you basically. So Bad Reputation by Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, awesome album and a perfect pairing with the divorce settlement. All right. And let's get into our last intense pairing here, our intense movie that we're going to pair with the divorce settlement. And I think a lot of there's always like jokes in the you know, memes and stuff on the internet about what happens when guys get divorced. They lawyer up, hit the gym, you know, cut off contact, that kind of stuff. And you know, they come out the end a better, stronger person or whatever. But this is for anyone, but this is especially for men out there. Maybe you want to like reconsider how eager you are to date after a divorce. And that's where this movie comes in. I'm talking about Audition by Takashi Miike, you know, world-renowned Japanese director who does a lot of intense movies, to say the least. But in this particular case, Audition, I believe the husband, the father, is not divorced. I believe his wife has died. But you know, his idea is to kind of get over this grief. He works like a casting agency, for an advertising company or something. For an advertising company, and he puts together a fake audition for a commercial. Not fake. It's a real audition. They wanted to look at people anyway, but he kind of uses it, and his friend suggests that he kind of uses it for, you know, screening for a potential woman that he would want to date. And he feels like this would be the best way to get over his grief. And a lot of this movie, for the first, it's not terribly long, but I want to say the first 20 to 30 minutes of this movie, it almost feels like a romantic comedy before it takes the turn that Takashi Miike so viciously swings us down. It is a hard turn into a complete fucking nightmare that ends with, that has the woman who is selected out of the audition to, you know, as a potential dating partner. We learned about her bizarre fetishes, the man that she keeps in a cage in her house. And it ends with a partial dismemberment via garrote. It takes a hard turn from this romantic almost borderline romantic comedy into this complete fucking nightmare where a lot of people get harmed very, very viciously. So that is Audition by Takashi Miike. And as a warning, this is the warning, I kind of skipped over this part. The warning is, maybe you think you're ready to immediately begin dating, maybe you should take a pause. Otherwise, who knows what's going to get cut off your body if you end up hanging out with the wrong person. All right, and that is it for our for the divorce settlement and the prenuptial. Let's real quickly just go ahead and rewind here on the pairings for the prenuptial. Song is Her Black Wings by Danzig. Album is Koi no Yokan by Deftones, and the movie is Mandy, directed by Panos Cosmatos. For the divorce settlement, song is Living After Midnight by Judas Priest. Album is Bad Reputation by Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, and movie is Audition, directed by Takashi Miike. And that does it for this episode. This was a really fun one. I am super duper pleased with the way these drinks turned out. Truly, like, so much so that I have enjoyed these since putting them together. Like, I'm not always, you know how you are, like, you're toying around with something or you try a drink someplace and you're like, oh, that's really good, but like, it's not good enough for you to do it again. This has been good enough for me to try them again. So I'm really pleased with how these turned out. Definitely going to get back in it. You know what? We'll see if we don't do some drink pairings later on this year, you know, for some more seasonal drinks, you know, whatever, next time we do like some kind of movie month or something, which actually will be next month, but we'll skip May. But the next time we have a movie oriented month, maybe I'll get back into the laboratory and do some complimentary drinks with that. This is definitely a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it. As you can tell by how drunk I am in these episodes, I thoroughly enjoyed drinking during them as well. But that's it. We will see you next time. Let's see. So we have this wedding episode coming out, and then next week's episode should be a very, very fun one, because I am drinking with some buds. I'm just drinking with some friends, and we're going to have a little chat, and there's even going to be a little bit of a quiz in that episode. So it's going to be a lot of fun to close out. I can't believe that another month has already passed, but to close out Aperitif April next week. So thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. We will catch you on the flip side.